You're listening to Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Have you ever heard that you need to work with brands that have a lot of followers? Or have you heard that influencer marketing is too expensive? Today, Malia and I are going to debunk some of these myths about influencers and working with influencers.
Yeah, this topic is important for brands and influencers alike. So let's jump right in with myth number one. Myth number one is influencer marketing has no rules. Jess and Jacqueline did a couple of episodes about FTC guidelines, so we're not going to dive too deep into this one, but just a couple of reminders here about some of the FTC guidelines is you need to disclose if you are in some sort of relationship with a brand. So that needs to be pretty clear. You need to make it to where people can see and understand. It's, you know, in a place that's hard to miss if you're, you know, working with a brand. You need to use simple and clear language. So using explanations like thanks to, you know, such and such brand for the free product, or using terms like advertisement, ad, sponsored, things like that, where people know that you are clearly working with a brand. And a couple of other guidelines are you can't talk about an experience with a product that you haven't tried. You also don't need to give high praise for a product that you really think is terrible. And you also can't make claims about a product that cannot be backed up by the brand. So those are just a few of the highlights of things that you can't do when you're an influencer working with a brand. And again, check out those other episodes for more detailed guidelines.
And I just want to say here that as an influencer, usually brands are really great about reminding us to disclose. I have had one or two brands that have asked me not to disclose. And just remember, that's a red flag, and maybe don't work with those brands because there are guidelines and regulations that we're held to.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Myth number two. Malia, have you ever heard that being an influencer is taking selfies, posting photos, and getting free stuff?
Yes.
Well, I'm here to tell you that it's just not true. There are so many hats that influencers wear these days. They have to know how to take good photos. They have to know how to write good copyright, how to edit, how to dress, how to present themselves, their products, their brands. And I'm hoping that brands recognize all of the work that goes into really good content creation. Do you feel like as a brand that you guys do recognize all of the hats the influencers wear?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I recognize it because, you know, I do our post for Visit North Alabama. So I have to find good photos or take good photos and then write content and things like that. So, you know, while people who don't work in this line of work, they can look at it and like, oh, you put a picture up and you wrote some words. And it's like, yes, but it took a while to formulate those words that, you know, sounds like something that would make someone want to, you know, buy or go or do. So, yeah.
Well, one of my colleagues actually said to me the other day, what do you do? And I said, oh, I run Joy of Adventuring. It's my Instagram account. So they looked it up and they're like, well, I could do this. And I kind of chuckled because I think that's what many people believe. And they can, but they do have to put time and effort, and it's a lot of work.
Yeah. And maybe that's credit to the influencers who are doing it really well, like you are, that you make it look so easy, you know, that you make it look like, you know, hey, it's fun. And of course, we know on the other side that, yeah, it is fun, but it's also a lot of hard work. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So myth number three is that influencers need to wait for brands to reach out to them. And we've talked in some episodes prior to this one that that's just not true, that there are platforms out there that influencers can get on and, you know, post their portfolio, apply for things, and, you know, you're matched up with brands and or destinations. So you do not have to wait for someone to reach out to you. Do you have experience with this, Carrie?
Yes, almost all of the brands that I work with, I have actually pitched. So I have determined their brand I want to work with, and I've reached out, found the appropriate contact, reached out, sent them my media kit along with a proposal, and that has turned into a relationship down the line. So, you know, if you're going to wait for brands to reach out to you, most likely that's not going to happen. At one point in the beginning, I was reaching out to 5 to 10 brands a day just to get going. And that's a good tip for anybody out there who's hoping to get started, is get a good media kit, get your things in line, and reach out to the people that you want to work with, people that go along with your brand and with your image, that hold your values, I guess. So if you are somebody who's ethical and sustainable, look for those kinds of brands and strive to work with them.
Yeah. And even just today, I responded to some influencers and creators that had reached out to me from a conference that I had gone to. And, you know, I really appreciate the ones too that reach out and they have an idea of what their niche is and then pair it with something in our destination.
Maybe what they want to do.
Right, right. Yeah. And so it kind of gives you an idea of, oh yeah, okay, well, you could do this for us. Like, for example, our wine trail, you know, there was an influencer who had reached out and she mentioned, you know, like wine trails, craft beer, things like that. And so it was like, oh yeah, there's a perfect match. And then we've got a wine festival coming up this fall. So, you know, it was an easy way to kind of put, you know, two and two together. And so we're in the process of working out some details. So,
well, most of the brands have told me that they appreciate when I send my media kit and my pitch, because like you, it gives them an idea of something that I want to create. So where my mind is, because I'm finding more and more brands are giving, it used to be that they were really strict on what they wanted and how they wanted it presented. And now it seems as though they're giving influencers more creative rights to present the material and the content in the way that best resonates with their audience.
Yeah, because I mean, you know your audience better than I do as a destination. And so, yeah, that helps. It helps us as a destination to know, you know, kind of where to send you, what kind of project to put you on. So
myth number four, what about this one, Malia? I'm sure you've heard this. The bigger the influencer, the better the influencer. Have you heard that?
Yes, and it's not true.
No, it's not. So you said it's not true, so I'm going to ask you, do you know about nano and micro influencers, and how do you feel about them?
Well, there's advantages to both, obviously. Being a smaller destination, we tend to work more with the micro influencers because of our budget. That's what we're more able to afford, and we know that because we are a smaller destination that, you know, we're not a New York City or an Orlando or, you know, a Los Angeles, California, where it's on everybody's bucket list to come. So we tend to seek out more of the micro influencers.
Well, and you know, that actually might be a great thing, because most of the nano and micro influencers have a very specific niche. And although their follower count isn't as high, but they typically have a higher genuine engagement rate. So
yes,
what that means is people are actually listening to them. They're actually interested in where they're vacationing and where they're going. They're taking recommendations from them. So more engaged small accounts, typically they just have a more engaged audience, which benefits the brands. So a lot of people, just because they're bigger, doesn't mean they're better. Sometimes the content isn't niched down. So you may have a lifestyle creator who isn't specific with clothing. Maybe they're sharing household things, they're sharing child, you know, raising a family, they're sharing clothing. And so you don't really know where the interests of that audience lie. Whereas, right, like for me, our audience is very outdoor adventure and travel niched. That's just what we are. And mm-hmm, everybody who follows us is interested in that. So as a destination, you know, if you're looking for somebody to come, you want somebody who has a niche that's going to fit what you have to offer. So
right,
bigger isn't always better is
right,
the moral of that story.
Yeah. And we have an ambassador program as well. And when I first began the program, I made sure that I didn't get swayed by, you know, the large amount of followers on their accounts. And of course, you know, you don't want like 20 followers. Let's be honest. That's way too few.
True.
But the ones that had, you know, 1,000, 2,000 followers, you know, I would look at their engagement for one thing. Like you said, you know, look at their engagement. Do they have a lot of comments? You know, do they have a lot of likes? And because sometimes when you see influencers that have a really large following, sometimes those followers can be bought. And one way to spot that is to look at the comments. You know, is it actual sentences or is it just emojis? Are there, you know, can you tell that there's bots that are commenting? So when you're looking at influencers that have, you know, maybe mid-level amount of followers, you know, look at the engagement. Are they truly engaged? And so when I would choose my ambassadors, that was one thing that I looked at is, you know, do they have followers who are, you know, doing what they ask them to do or buying the product that they're recommending? So,
yeah, it's important to know if you have actually people at the other end of all of your hard spent money to get those influencers.
Yes. All right. So myth number five is that influencer marketing is only for bigger brands. And absolutely not. you know, Visit North Alabama is not a huge brand. Like I said, we're, you know, a smaller destination. And you still need people who are out there who can, you know, talk up your brand and come and visit your brand and then write about it and take, you know, amazing photos and post about that on their social media account. So,
and I've noticed a lot of smaller brands actually get their start from Instagram or from using influencers, mm-hmm. and then they tend to grow to become a bigger brand. So it's a great place for brands of all size to get noticed and to get a bigger following.
Yeah.
So myth number six goes right along with myth number five. Influencer marketing is too costly. And while it's true that if you work with a mega influencer, which is somebody who has over a million followers, you're going to have to pay a lot of money for that. That's just how it rolls. When they have a big audience, you need to pay to put your product in front of that audience. The good news is that we also have nano influencers, which is 500 to 10,000, micro influencers, 10,000 to 100,000. And within these categories, they're going to be more affordable. They still usually produce really great content, and they have, you have the opportunity to have them work within a given budget. So for me, when I work with a brand that's smaller, I just ask them up front, what's your budget? And let me see what I can do for you. And they'll give me a number, and then I can come back and tell them, all these are the three different packages that I can offer you. Which one fits with your needs the best? So it really depends on the account you're working with and what you want from them. Do you want a one-time post? Do you want a long-term partnership, a campaign? All of these things are different, tiered at different pricing levels. And so it's very possible to get what you want within your budgeted amount.
Yeah. And some of the influencers that we've worked with before have in their proposals have done what you've said. Like there's been tiers of, you know, for this amount, you can get this, for this amount, you can get this, you know, and that has been very helpful because then you can look at it and see what you're trying to accomplish and, you know, pick a package that fits your project.
Well, and I think this is important for both the influencer and the brands to recognize that no matter what the budget is, how small it is, that you're going to be able to find somebody to work with. And no matter how small your account, I mean, a nano account with 500 people, if you're in a really specific niche, that mm-hmm. can be a really good fit for somebody who may not have the budget to hire a macro or mega influencer, and it'll help you get started and eventually grow your following as well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, thanks for joining us today. That wraps up this episode of Debunking Six Common Myths About Being an Influencer and Working with Influencers. We're so glad that you were able to join us, and we hope you learned something new. And we hope that this episode helped influencers realize that they can be effective at any size. You don't have to be really big. And also, if you're the one that's working with influencers, realize that influencer marketing is here to stay and that it's affordable even for smaller brands.
Yes, and influencer marketing can be very effective for your brand. So if you have not considered it, it's time to do so. We want to continue the conversation about this hot topic and all things influencer creator marketing. To keep the discussion going and stay up to date on the latest content, follow Influencer Marketing for Destinations, Instagram, Pinterest, and Twitter. We would love to hear your thoughts and answer any questions. For transcripts with links, check out our website at www.thedmpn.com.
This has been another episode of Influencer Marketing for Destinations, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Malia Haynes and Carrie Ward and produced by Relic.